I'd like to read with you from Ecclesiastes 3, a time for everything. Ecclesiastes 3, verses 1 through 11. There is a time for everything, and a season for every activity under heaven. A time to be born, and a time to die. A time to plant, and a time to uproot. A time to kill, and a time to heal. A time to tear down, and a time to build. A time to weep, and a time to laugh. A time to mourn and a time to dance. A time to scatter stones and a time to gather them. A time to embrace and a time to refrain. A time to search and a time to give up. A time to keep and a time to throw away. A time to tear and a time to mend. A time to be silent and a time to speak, a time to love and a time to hate, a time for war and a time for peace. What does the worker gain from his toil? I have seen the burden God has laid on people. He has made everything beautiful in its time. He has also set eternity in the hearts of men, yet they cannot fathom what God has done from beginning to end. I know that there is nothing better for people than to be happy and to do good while they live. That everyone may eat and drink and find satisfaction in his toil. This is the gift of God. That's as far as we'll read from the book of Ecclesiastes. You noticed, I'm sure you have, that we're all pretty obsessed with time. I think anybody that's my age or older has a watch on their wrist. Almost everybody. Maybe a little bit younger than, or a bit older than you are. But what I've noticed is that young adults hardly ever wear watches anymore. But they all have this, and this is their virtual watch. So we all have something that helps us to keep time. But it's not just on our wrists. You go in your kitchen and the microwave has the time. There's probably another clock in the kitchen as well that isn't ours. You go into your car when you leave this place, you start the engine and the clock light comes on. The whole time you're driving, the time is staring you in the face. It's something that we do. You go to Parliament Hill in Ottawa, and there's a clock on the Peace Tower. Now, it seems to me that men are more obsessed with time than women. And I'm going to get in big trouble, especially with Joanne. But if we're ever late, it's because of Joanne. And when I tell her that, she says, "What are you talking about? It's because of you that we're always late." Well, I think couples often, if they squabble, I'm sure none of you do, but if they do, it's often about time, isn't it? "We're going to be late, honey. Come on, let's go. They're expecting us. You know how much I hate being late." Well, that's something that's certainly said in our house, and you can guess who says what. But aren't there moments when you'd like time to just absolutely stop? That when you were telling us about your sixth grandkid, and when you're old, the first time you get one of your grandchildren, no, it's all these younger people, all these old duddies talking about their grandkids, but when you're holding your grandchild for the first time, you just want this moment to stop. You just want to I want to keep doing this forever, folding into this beautiful new person, right, who's so connected to me. Your heart just goes like that. And then when your child is growing up, the first day of school, all these special moments that are just graved onto your memory, and you say, I want to keep that. You know, and then as we've suffered losses, and we reflect back on the good and happy times that we've had with our family members, and if only we could go back and cling to that moment when there was happiness and when there was life and all that good stuff. But we know that that's not going to happen. If we have jobs where we've got deadlines, you know, the boss is expecting a big report on the desk at 5 o'clock. By the end of the day, I need it. And there's just so much work you got to do to get it done. He said, if only that clock would stop so that I can have all the moments that I need to actually do what is required and to do it right. Maybe even have time for coffee. Now there's a mysterious dimension to time. You know, time has an effect. Time produces gravity, it seems, which has its effect on all of us. You know, we just get shorter, right? We can get weighed down by the days, and we can only react. Right? The effect of time is something that we just have to deal with. We have to accept. The fact is that we are going to get older day by day. We get older and older, and there are changes in us, and there's changes in the world. Things are going on. It's like, why does everything have to keep on changing? Why can't anything stay the same? Well, it's because that's the nature of time, right? That we live in a world in which time keeps adding up. The preacher in Ecclesiastes writes that there are all these different times, and that one of the times that there are is indeed the time to weep. No one chooses that time. That is a time that is thrust upon us. It says that there is a time to die, and we don't choose our times to die. Grace, thank you, didn't choose her time. God called her in his time. And sometimes death is harder to understand. It's difficult. Time is really beyond our understanding. We know that they happen. We know that the moments pile up one after the other. But we don't really know the significance of the time that we're in. When I looked at my newest granddaughter who was born, I have no idea what impact that little girl is going to have on the world. I don't know what that kid is ultimately going to do for the kingdom of God. I don't know if she'll marry. I don't know if she'll have children. I don't know if she'll have a career. I don't know anything about her, except that she is who she is, and I love her. I don't know what's going to be my legacy. I have an idea of what I have accomplished or not accomplished in my life thus far, but I don't think my life is over. And I can't predict the future. I don't know what the Lord is going to do with me or through me. I don't know what he's going to do in spite of me. And the same is true for every one of us. We don't know. We only can hope and pray and trust that what we accomplish will be ultimately to the glory of God. And it's interesting to think about that as, you know, when histories are written, that they say you should never write a history of a person who's still alive. And autobiographies, you know, books that are written by the person about themselves, should never be trusted. Because you don't know really what your impact is. And even, you know, you, the, I was reading once a book that said that a history should only be written at least a full generation after the events have transpired. Because it's only as you get some distance in time that you can begin to see what were the actual impacts of that event, or of that person, or of that that period of time. And it requires a certain amount of humility to be able to say, I have no idea what my ultimate impact is going to be. I only know that God is in control, and that He will have the impact through me that He desires. I just must remain faithful and leave it in His hands. We think about that as a church too, right? We have to be faithful. We have to do what we're called to do. We have to do our best and do it according to the Scripture and by the guidance of the Spirit. But we're going to think, what is our impact going to be? Even as Bethel Church, with all the work we do and all the money we give and all the effort we expend into having a ministry, ultimately we say, it's up to God to do whatever He wants with what we have put into it. Now, these reflections point out some of the fundamental differences that exist between us as created people and God Himself as the uncreated source of all things. When we feel the wind of time blowing upon us, and we are unable to stop or slow down the passage of time, God is free of time. And we've talked about this before in our brush-up sessions a couple of times, but how time is a creation, right? And God Himself is not limited by any part of creation, so He is somehow beyond time. Someone who was very pessimistic said that for us as people, time is the fire in which we all burn. But, wow, that's pretty dark, but there's some truth to that, right? That time is going to ultimately be the end of us, because we will age to the point where our bodies will stop, and our time on this side of eternity will come to an end. But God is not like that. Before anything began, before time existed, God was there. And the time is coming when God is going to say to the time as we experience it here, He's going to say, stop. He's going to say, that's enough. Now is the time to make all things new. Now is time for reset. Now is the time for renew and to begin again, but this time better. Without the sin, without the pain, without the death, without the loss, without the fear, without the disappointment. And until that day, we work. And are thankful to God that in this time, He does intercede. He does penetrate our reality. He does connect with us even as we are in this world, even as we are experiencing the time, the moments, the days that come one after the other. We're thankful that God in all of this is sovereign. And as Reformed Christians, that's something that we take very seriously, and we touch on that note a lot, because God is King. Jesus is Lord. He's in control. He's the Master, right? That He guides and directs and ultimately leads to the point of victory for all of us, even having to work around our mistakes and our weaknesses and our brokenness. Still, God says, I am going to guide you to the place that I want you to be. And that gives us encouragement and hope as we live through time. And as we learn in Ecclesiastes, time is a gift. That God has given us the gift of all these different times, the good times, the bad times. There's going to be lots of times ahead in 2014. There's There's going to be times of sowing and mending for life to begin, and life will end in 2014. 2014 will have times of plantings and times of reaping, of laughter and sadness, of searching and of finding. When we as God's people, blessed by our relationship with Jesus and communion with the Holy Spirit, look ahead to the year that is about to be, we should ask ourselves, how are we going to live in this year? Well, what are our hopes? What are our expectations? What kind of commitments are we going to make? Joanne and I were talking about resolutions. You know, what kind of resolutions should we make? And we said, well, rather than resolutions that you break it, you stumble and you cast it aside, we talk together about, why don't we make goals for ourselves? Goals that we continue to strive for throughout the year. Goals that will help us to be better in different ways, more effective in different ways, and better servants of God in different ways. But well, to do that, I think we should live humbly. And we do have the tendency as members of the Christian Reformed Church to be kind of proud, because we have accomplished a lot. And I sometimes hear people from different Christian traditions talk about this thing or that, and I think, we in the CRC, we do that. I get pretty buffed up, I'll admit it, it's my sin, I'm just too proud. But I think I'd be a better person, and maybe we'd all be good people to remember, you know, that it's not about us, right? It's about the Lord, and give Him the glory, and not think it's all what we're doing. Which goes in the second thing I would like us to think about, right? That not only should we live humbly, that we should live gratefully. We also are a people that, you know, we have some people that have struggles, and we have some people that that maybe don't have as much as others. But certainly, overall, we are incredibly blessed. And we have a beautiful place, you know, and that doesn't come by accident. You know, that comes because there has been generosity, there's been giving. But the reason we can be generous and the reason we have been given is because we have been given so much. And we need to remember to be grateful to God. That in this year, 2014, remember that the God not only has given us resources, but He's given us His presence. He's given us His personal support. Say, you're not going to go into 2014 alone, but I am going to make sure, God says, that you have my Spirit with you, that my Son is going to be beside you, and I as the Father am going to be leading you. And that is a gift to us. And we should be grateful. And then finally, I'd just like to say that we should be humble, we should be grateful, but we should also be obedient. Whatever the time is, if it's a time to weep, then we should weep the way He wants us to weep. And if it's the time to rejoice, then we should rejoice as the redeemed people of the Lord. Scripture says in 1 Thessalonians, and we read this again at Grace's funeral, that we weep and grieve not as those who have no hope, but we grieve as those who know that God is faithful to His promises and that He will gather all His people to Himself. We rejoice not forgetting to give God the glory for the blessings that have come our way. So, what time is it? 25 after 7. It's another way of saying the time. That's the time of our privilege. The time of our privilege to be the children of God. Time to be humble before the Lord. Time to be grateful for all He has done. Time to be obedient in every way that He calls us to be. I'm expecting 2014 will be a great year. I have goals. I know council has goals. And I know we as a congregation, we have goals. We have a vision. A vision to be the faithful people of God in this place. To do whatever we can with all that we've been given to bring glory to God. Because that is what it is about. That is what these times are for. May God bless us as we live in it.